The Bible reading this morning is from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38, and it's headed, Birth of Jesus Foretold. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, Greetings, O favoured one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, How will this be, since I am a virgin? And the angel answered her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Thank you.
Great. Whoop. Now we're on. Whoop. It's good to be here with you. What have we been doing since we last saw you? Lots of things. But the latest things that Faith and I have been doing is we sold our property at, where was it? Gympie. And we're between and betwixt, so I don't know where I am. I wake up in places and I go, now, am I at Majimba or am I at, you know, where am I? Anyway, that's my excuse for not knowing where I am. And we're waiting to move into our new house at the end of January, hopefully. But as well as that, over the past little while, just working backwards a bit, I did a three-month interim at Maryborough Baptist Church. And then somewhere before that, we travelled overseas to Greece. So some of you will know that we try to go over once a year and work with the church there. So there's been some continuing developments within the mission that we're working with, which is Hellenic Ministries, and which is flows into the evangelical part of the church there. One of the things we're doing is about 3 years ago now, the mission completed a project where they gave out over 15 years before that, they gave out 1.5 million New Testaments. The aim was for every household outside of Athens, outside of the main centre. And they completed that, so the question was, what do we do now? And the Lord led towards following up by sending teams out to make connection with some of those communities that they had been in, and simply to share the gospel in a personal way through relationships. So building up relationships with people and then having the opportunity to share the gospel in probably what's the most effective way, which is simply saying to someone, this is what Jesus has done for me, he can do it for you. We're in the third year in our faith, is that right? You're in the third cycle of that. And so this year there will be around 14 teams going out to different places. The idea is that the same people will go to the same place, and that way there's a build-up of relationship there. One of the elements in that is trying to get Greeks involved so they can reach Greeks, because at the moment there's a high percentage of outsiders, non-Greeks, as part of the teams there, which is great, but you know, ideally it's like if we had a whole bunch of French people come in here to reach Mergen, you know, and you go, well, okay, that's good if it helps us, but really in the end, we've got to, you know, do it. So it's been a real privilege to be part of that. So far we're still enjoying the air travel, just. Okay, we're getting on. And so it's been good. But one of the things I want to bring to you is greetings from Mergen Baptist Church in Athens. Okay? And did you know there's a Mergen Baptist Church in Athens? Who knew that? Anybody? No. Okay. There's Mergen Baptist churches all over Greece. Okay? All over Greece. There's churches that are very similar to you, except they speak Greek, of course, you know. Which you don't, but you don't need to, okay? But they're small churches, small fellowships like you, that when I say to them, you know, greetings from, you know, the Sarah's Baptist Church in Australia, which is the reverse, they give me exactly the same look that you gave me, yeah? And they're surprised sometimes and encouraged, you know, hey, we're not just this little, you know, group of people here, that sometimes feel as of no consequence, you know. But the Lord has got groups of people like all over the place. I mean, like, that's one of the things that's just expanded, blown my mind, really, to see that and go, wow, they're all over the place, you know. But most of us, when we're in our place, we're not really too aware of that, you know. But it's true and it's encouraging. And they're much the same. They've got the same issues that you and I have, except that you guys don't have church politics, you know, but they do, or, you know, any problems like that. But one of the things that they do face, which we don't face here as much, is that the evangelical church there, plays in the playground of the big boys in town, who are the Greek Orthodox Church. And so the Greek Orthodox Church is the state church, but it's also, there is not a single village that you will go to in Greece that you will not find at least a chapel, if not a church and a priest. And if you were to go into any village, any town in Greece and start proselytizing or, you know, having outreaches in the street or wherever, you will most likely, not guaranteed, but you will most likely come up against a bit of a resistance. Sometimes passive, sometimes very active in that. And so the way that things, we're trying to do things there now is by relationship. So rather than say to someone, oh, you shouldn't be in the Greek Orthodox Church, they're wrong, or come out of the church, well, it's just say, this is what Jesus has done for me. He can do this for you. You start following Jesus and let him tell you what to do. And, you know, that's a far better way to go about it. For Greeks also, if you say to any Greek, 99.9% of Greeks, right, will say, well, I'm Greek Orthodox. Okay? So almost all Greeks are Greek Orthodox. Not very many Greek Orthodox people have a living relationship with Jesus. There are, don't get me wrong, there are, okay, but no, you know, it is a minority in there. And so it's very much a cultural thing, and there's reasons for that. But that's a challenge that's there that we don't often face all that much here, you know, in Australia. So if you think of the church in Greece, pray for them. That's what we've been doing. If you want to ask some more questions afterwards, Is the morning tea after? Good. That's all I really come for, you know, the morning tea. to do that. But this morning I just wanted to have a look. Thank you for the Bible reading. That's great. How did 2025 work out for you? Okay, I'm going to ask a question. Who, at the end of 2025, could sit down and reflect on and go, yep, that's exactly how I thought it was going to work out in December. That's how I thought it was going to work out in January. Anybody? Oh, okay, well, pack up, let's go home. Life doesn't turn out the way we expect sometimes. Life doesn't turn out the way we expect a lot of the time. You know, we have our plans, but sometimes or very often they don't work out. And that's one thing, our plans not working out. And it can be, what's that? No, that's the last slide in the series. I hit the wrong button. Uh-oh. Is it possible for you to... Sorry, I hit the backward button. It's because I'm a backward person. Gets it. It's very discombobulating. Okay, there's a good word. I've always wanted to use that word. Okay, so that's what it means. That's that word there. And it means that it's causing us to be confused emotionally when we have... when plans don't work out. And it's some of the synonyms for it you'll see there. Okay, it causes us to be bewildered, to be, you know, discomforted, all those sort of things. So when our plans don't work out, it's discombobulating. But when our maps don't work out, it's a lot worse. Okay, it's a lot worse. And we're going to be looking a little bit at, you know, navigating 2026 and beyond. You see, we don't only have plans. You and I have plans. But in here and in here, we have maps. Okay, we have these maps of what we believe life should be like, what my life's going to turn out like, what I think should be happening in there. And sometimes our plans go wrong, but there are also times when our maps go wrong in the sense of you go, this is not what I expected of life. Anyone had that experience? Okay, there's a few people, okay, in that. For those of you that are young, you know, it'll come. All right, but for those that are a little bit older, not me, but some of you that are older, okay, what you find is if you look back on your life, that quite often and in some aspects you go, this isn't the way I envisaged it. This isn't the way I thought it would come about. And those maps, another word for those inner maps there, it's our worldview. Okay, it's what we use to interpret and to navigate life. They're embedded in us from our formative years. But sooner or later, we realize something, and that is the map is not the territory. What do I mean by that? The picture I have in my mind is not necessarily the reality of life around me. I have things in my mind. I have a picture of this is how it should be. This is what I'm looking for. This is how it's going to happen. But that's the picture. It's like a map. And sometimes we've got to realize the map is not the territory, is not the reality that's there. And it's important for us to do that. And when we hit those points in our life, it's what I call a map challenge. So sooner or later, all of us come across something that will challenge the map that we have in our mind of what life should be like. And what happens is, there's that word again, I have to fit it in there somewhere, we become disoriented, discombobulated, and the things can get into a real muddle for us. And we all go through that. 2026 is an uncertain future for us. Okay, there's probably nobody sitting here, or certainly even in Australia here, that doesn't realise that we are heading into territory that is unknown for this generation and the one before, because the world around us is changing. I'm not even talking about our personal circumstances, all right? We're not even talking about that. That's added in there as well. But it's so important for us to know that we're going into an uncertain future, but there can be security in that. And what do we do when we face an uncertain future? Okay, I thought this morning we'd have a really quick look at somebody, possibly the greatest example of a person that kept having their map changed continually through her life in the Bible. And that's Mary. Now, the real Mary is much more than the Christmas Mary. Let's call her that, all right? We used to the Christmas Mary, but we don't very often look at the whole of Mary's life and look at the real Mary, the person, who's actually quite a significant person, okay, in that the real Mary is more akin to Abraham. Now, you might be surprised to hear me say that, but if you stop and look at what Mary's job was, who gave her the job that she was given in life, the significance of it and those things, we're talking about Abraham level responsibility in there. We're not used to thinking that, but that's really what we're seeing there. But let's talk about Mary and her map for life. And I can tell you this. Mary's map for life, for her life, okay, at 15, was very, very different to what Mary's experience was by the time she was 50. Okay? The difference is like, it's almost too hard to comprehend in that, with the things that she went through and the changes she went through. Generally, it's agreed. We read the passage. I'm going to quickly go through some of the things there. How many times did Mary's map get challenged? Okay, and just think about it with that. So Mary's a 15, 16-year-old girl, okay, and she's got this vision of what, you know, life is going to be like, okay, for her. And then Gabriel comes along. Great. All right. He turns up, an angel turns up, and you go, was she expecting an angel to turn up? Well, yeah, given her background and everything else, maybe, maybe not. You know, it wasn't a real, that's not a real problem. And he tells her that she's blessed by God, that she's going to have this special place. She's highly favored in there. Now, this is this 15-year-old girl who is looking forward to a betrothal. She's getting married, probably having a family, and there's a carpentry business, and probably, you know, continuing with her devotion to God, okay? And so a fairly, you know, normal life for her up ahead. And so here's the first challenge there. The first challenge to her map is Gabriel turns up. He tells her, you know, that she's favored by God and that she is going to be the mother of the Son of the Most High, and who will give him the who will have the throne of his father David. Now, everything in there says to Mary, this is the Messiah that's being talked about. Okay? Listen carefully. Every single Israelite girl's dream was to be the mother of the Messiah. Okay? This was, somebody was going to be it. Okay, that somebody was going to be the mother of the Messiah. And I'm guessing that whether they thought it would be them or not, that a lot of, you know, Israelite girls would think, well, maybe it's me. Maybe it's going to be me in there. Now, what's the picture that would have been in their mind? What's Mary's picture in her mind of what it would mean to be the mother of the Messiah, the Savior of Israel, the coming King of Israel? Yeah, have a think about it, yeah? What is it that would be in her mind? How did she picture that? You know, in there, and you go, whoa, this will be interesting. I'll be a person of, you know, importance, I suppose, you know, with, you know, mothers of kings in those days had a lot of power. had a lot of influence. Okay, so there's this whole picture there. You can work through that. Imagine if a young girl here today, was getting married, and she was told, "Your son is going to be the Prime Minister of Australia." Okay, and you go, "But this is on steroids." Okay, this is going to be the saviour of Israel, which is a bigger deal than being the Prime Minister of Australia. Okay, and so Mary goes, "That's great, but wait a minute, I'm not married." Very practical girl, Mary. Yeah, so, with that. So map challenge there. All right, the angel says, "It's okay, God's going to take care of that." Now, listen to Mary's response. Mary's response to that, which was quite would have been quite a challenging thing, was, "I am the Lord's servant." Now, I want to say to you that when we go through 2026 and you're going through life and it's not working out the way you want, I can tell you that the key thing here, and if you don't take anything else from this morning, take this. Here's your key to it. Mary's answer to God was, "I am the Lord's servant," not, "The Lord is my servant." Okay? And you and I battle. I know it's easy to say that, but you and I battle. I battle over it. I don't know about you. Okay? That thing there that I go, Lord, can you give me another parking space, please? Because I went by the one that was there. I want you to be my servant. Or there's a whole list of things that I say to God, some are trivial, some are not. But this is a key thing. How did Mary get through all of this? And we see her at the end of her life that she did get through all of this, but this is a big deal there, okay? "I am the Lord's servant," she said, "not the Lord is my servant." And it's a shift we all have to make and continue to make through our life. And like I said, it's not easy because we have this built-in drive for self-preservation and self-service, okay, because we're broken people in that. So it's not, if you have that drive towards, I want to take care of myself, I want, security. It's not all because you're sinful and you're bad. It's because we're all broken because we've been broken away from our Creator, which is where security is. Remember, Adam and Eve started walking in security with God in the garden. And very quickly, after the fall, it was walking in fear of God in the garden. Okay? And there's this fear that we have inside of us which drives us to self-protection. And sometimes it's kind of subtle. Sometimes it's kind of, held down a bit. Other times it shows more. But it's there for all of us. And that's one of the changes that we have to have. And Mary, there's a swathe of challenges that Mary was going to be facing, and she hadn't even begun the journey, even when she was young, but we don't want to spook her. Joseph had his own map challenge there. What am I going to do? The shame of it, I'm betrothed to this girl, and she's pregnant, and it wasn't me. There's a map challenge for you. That wasn't what he was looking for in life, okay? And then God comes along as he's thinking through these things and says, "Don't be afraid." Well, there's another map challenge for him. I'm supposed to not be afraid there, okay? "She will give him she'll give birth to a son. You give him the name Jesus because he came to save his people from their sins." And Mary's response and Joseph was basically to go with the Lord. Mary sings that great song, "My soul magnifies the Lord." And then there's a census in the middle of a pregnancy. Now, what a time for Caesar to, put a census on, in the middle of a pregnancy. Very inconvenient there. And they're heading off down the road, and she gives birth in a manger. There's a map challenge. That's not what, that wasn't what I was planning for my firstborn. In there, and then these shepherds come along and talk about these angels that have made these pronouncements there. And in Luke 2:19, we read that Mary treasured up these things. She gathered them, kept them together, and pondered on them in their heart. What do I make of these things? Map challenge, therefore. 8 days later, they go to the temple for the dedication. And there's Simeon's prophecy, about the child. And that's terrific, really great. And you go, all right, if you're Mary, you're going, this is good. This is shaping up well. And then he says to us, your soul also will be pierced. Now, there's a map change for you. Hang on. If I'm going to be the mother of the Messiah, this is the person who's going to save Israel. You know, it's this great person here, but you're telling me that my soul, oh, this is pain. You know, my soul is going to be pierced. That's not what I was thinking of. That's not the way I was planning it. Okay. And then a couple of years later, the Magi turn up and, they worship the child and they bring all those gifts there. That's another unexpected thing there. And immediately then, or very soon after that, the angel tells them, take the child and go to Egypt. Can you get a feel of what's happening here? At every step, the picture that Mary may have had, and Israel for that matter, but Mary had, of what it would mean when the Messiah comes, is getting shifted. That now we're running off to Egypt. And you go, what's that all about? How is this going to work out? How is he going to be this thing that I'm imagining if we're off to Egypt? And then they come back from Egypt. And they're going to go to Bethlehem. No, can't go there. Map change. Go to Nazareth. Okay, because there were still people threatening, his life there. In that, another map change there. Okay, there's all these map changes that she's going to make. These adjustments in the picture, and we could go through a lot. We haven't got time, but there's heaps of these. You go and read the story and see them all. But then we come probably to the greatest one, which is at the foot of the cross. And here she is with her son, who's supposed to be the Messiah, executed in front of her. This is not how I pictured it would be something that Mary was saying. And not only that, because any of us that are parents, you would know that would be traumatic enough, wouldn't it? But inside of all of that is what's happened to the Messiah. Where's this Messiah that I was supposed to be carrying? This is not how I pictured it. Have I done something wrong? Have I got it wrong? That's a map change. And then you go, well, how did she make it through all that? How did Mary make it through all that? By step, each time, in some way, shape, or form, saying and remembering, I am the Lord's servant. I am in God's hands. My times are in God's hands. I don't understand it. I do not understand it. There's no way that I think anyway. I can't see any way that I can imagine Mary sitting at the foot of the cross and looking at her son up there and going, oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm comfy with that. I think, God's got it worked out. Don't think so. Then it goes on, and another map change. Jesus rises from the dead. Oh, okay, we're back on track. That's pretty impressive, isn't it? You know, you got to admit, this is pretty impressive. And I imagine that some people, and Mary would have been delighted, obviously, as a mother, but also in terms of the plan of God, okay, would have been going, yeah, okay, this makes sense. Great, he's risen from the dead. Let's go. And Jesus says, see ya. They watch him go off in the clouds. Hello? And yet we read that after they left the mount there, they went to the upper room and Mary was there with the others, waiting in prayer. Mary's map had changed radically over her life. But she had followed the Lord that she could trust. And your maps and my map have to change. Everyone's maps had to change. Nicodemus needed his map corrected. Okay, what was needed to be reborn? Paul needed his map corrected. Peter needed his map corrected about cutting people's ears off and about the place of Gentiles and the kingdom of God. Cornelius had to have his map corrected. Paul needed his map corrected. And Mary, of course, you know. It's just a continual correcting. You and I are going to need to be willing to have our maps corrected. Okay? I'll just quickly go through these things. Just if you have a look there. Remembering this, the map is not the territory. Okay? The map, any map that we have in our mind and in our thinking about what life should be like, a map is only of value insofar as it correlates with the real situation, with the terrain. Okay? A good map is an accurate map. It reflects the terrain with us. And it's the same for us. You can have all sorts of maps of what life should be like. Not much chop if they don't relate to reality. So what do we do when our map bashes up against reality and they're not the same? Okay? What do we do? And I'll leave you with this really practical little thing that I love. It's called the Scout's Principle. And the Scout Principle, I've got to read it from up here. It says it seeks evidence to improve the map's accuracy. When the things don't correlate, what we need to do is go, okay, how do I need to correct my map? How do I need to make my map better? You know, it's all the explorers. Think of the old explorers. They got in their ships and they had these maps and they went along. And who was the guy that went up the west coast of Australia? Groote Island. He landed on there. Oh, 1500s, left his pewter plate on there. Dampier, was it? Okay. So he ran aground on the reef that wasn't on the map. Okay? And I guess what he did was he wrote it on the map. If you find a reef there that's not on the map, what do? Change your map. Yeah, change your map. So next time you're not going to run aground on the reef, but also can help other people in there. Okay, and so this is a really good principle. I love this here. Okay, being wrong is a chance to correct our map. One of the things that I've tried to do in my life, and it may be because I'm irresponsible, but it works for me, okay, is this. When I've found something's not right or I've done something wrong, I don't spend an inordinate amount of time going, oh, woe is me. Ask my wife. I'm not into a, oh, woe is me, about things I've done wrong. I'm into that about other things, but not about things I've done wrong, okay? And I go, okay, how do I do it differently the next time? How can I learn from this? Okay, so when our picture of life doesn't match up to life as we come across it, what do we do? Correct the map. Okay, correct the map. And the second thing is, keep your hand in the hand of the guide. Keep your hand in the hand of Jesus, because he actually knows the terrain far better than you or I or any map. Okay? And we can trust him in that. So, a couple of thoughts in closing. Jesus said that if we abide in his word, okay, we are truly his disciples, and we will know the truth, and the truth will set us free. If we abide with Christ, if we say, you are my Lord, I want to serve you, we will come to know the truth, because Jesus will show us the truth. Jesus is the truth. Okay? It shows us what life really is. Okay? And lastly, it says in Colossians 3:15, it says, let the word... Okay, now that word logos is the word, it's not the word as in the written, it's not just the written word as in the Bible. It's actually the idea of the logic, okay, the cause, the purpose. So Jesus is saying there, let my logic, my purposes, my cause, okay, dwell in you. And that word dwell is the word abiding, which is to remain in permanently. So let the purposes of God have a permanent place in your heart and mind. Give space to Jesus, okay, and to his logic, to his purposes, to the things that he shows you about himself. Give that space to Jesus in your life, and you'll be able to traverse life. You'll be able to travel through life. You'll be able to navigate 2026, whatever comes into it. Okay, and beyond that, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Okay, and you will have all the wisdom that you need. I encourage you to go through and just read Mary's story there. Here's the thing. I'll come back to it. In Mary's life, it did not turn out anything like she thought it would. But it did turn out right. And it did turn out according to God's purposes. So I want to encourage you, as you and I, as we follow into 2026 and beyond, if we follow Jesus, keep hold of him, it will turn out right. It probably will not turn out the way you expect. But it will turn out right. Let's take a moment to pray. I just want to give you a moment of quietness. Maybe you just want to talk to the Lord quietly, respond to him in some way, and then we'll sing a song that we can sing in response to Jesus. Father, we are your people here in Mergen, down the road, across the country, across the world. We are part of your people. And Lord, you have your eye on each and every single one of us and each and every single fellowship and gathering of people who gather in your name of all types and colours and persuasions. Father, as we look into the year ahead, on a personal level, on a church level, on a national level, Father, there are things that we are unsure about. There are things that are not the way we expected them to be. But Lord, you never change. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we have your promise that as we trust you, you have said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So, Father, we walk in that. Help us to readjust
the outlooks we need to readjust. But above that, help us to keep our hand in yours and not to let go of the hope that we have in you, a hope that is based on your love most clearly expressed to us on the cross. If you will go through death on the cross for us, we can trust you for your goodness towards us in the everyday, even when we can't understand it. So, Lord, help us to walk with you, to experience you more in our lives, and to be able to share more of what you have done in us with others around you that do not know you yet. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks.